Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn back to the Kings, and we're going to look in the Kings this morning. I am thankful for those times where God gives us and we follow the Spirit, but those of you that have been bold, you also know there have been plenty of times where you have not been as bold as you wish you were, and that certainly is true in my life. I was sharing with somebody the other day, that man, I'll never forget it. We were on the brink of going on vacation, and I was in a hurry. I need my oil changed or something done with the car. And I was prompted, just like I was prompted with Roger Creighton, I need to talk to him about his soul. But I was in a hurry, and I had things to do, and I had a lot of things on my list that day. And I left him. And I didn't give him a gospel tract. I didn't give him a verbal witness. I didn't give him anything. And we took our trip and came back. And I saw his face in the paper. Dead at like 26 years old. And that was a very sorrowful day. Because I don't know where he's at. But I do know this. I had an opportunity and I missed it. And I'm not proud of that. All of us will probably live with those, but what Brother Peter said is that if you're a believer, you know when you're talking to somebody and the Holy Spirit prompts you. There's a prompting to speak up. And sometimes we're just not even in tune to that. But when he prompts you and you don't, that is a grief. That is a grief. And that was one of those days that I know he prompted me and I didn't. And then I read about him same year dying. And motivation, good Bible challenge. And sometimes I think appropriate timing on it, because in the winter we're kind of a little bit more closed in. We're kind of a little bit more focused on, but we still have interaction, you know. And I know there are people here, you're very faithful to send tracts and your bills and all of those things, and boldness to speak up, and appreciate that challenge. We are in 2 Kings chapter number 8. We have handouts 16 and 17. If you do not have one of those two handouts, please raise your hand. Let's start with 16 first. Raise your hand, and then we'll do 17 as well. Okay, I think there's a stack of 16 on the far right of the usher's station. So we'll try to get 16 out and 17. We're dealing with the 5th and 6th kings of Judah this morning, Jehoram and Ahaziah. And then Jehoram has another name in Scripture, Joram. And Ahaziah is also known as Jehoahaz. And then we get to the 7th, and the 7th isn't a king, the 7th's a queen. And her name is Athaliah. So we're going to deal with those three this morning. And then if we can get to Joash, we will. If you need 16, raise your hand. If you need 16, we'll get you 16 this morning. I think we have enough to cover those that have their hands raised. It sure is good to see Karen Mink in service today. It's been a while since Karen's been able to be in service, has desired to be here, but has been taking care of her dad and fulfilling that role, important role. Was out to visit her the other week, her and Jim seemed to really be doing good. And Karen was telling me this. She goes, Pastor, I do my live stream. And then she says, I spend my time with God every day. And when you're out of church, your time with God is all the more critical, isn't it? And just appreciate that commitment of hers to spend time with the Lord every day in the Word. And so we're in 2 Kings chapter number 8. And anybody needs 17? Raise your hand now if you need 17. We'll catch everybody up here. If you're building your notebook, these handouts are punched for you so that you can have your notebook and fill in the blanks as we start. 2 Kings 8, and we're looking at verse number 16 as we begin the lesson this morning. We'll read the passage, and then we'll have prayer together. and get into the lesson. 2 Kings 8, verses 16 through 24. The Bible says, "And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the king of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light and to his children. In his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zer and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time, and the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead." And a few things just as your snapshot there in your notes about Joram here, or Jehoram. And one is he reigned 8 years. We know his reign began when he was 32 years old. The contemporary king of the northern kingdom at the time was the same name. So when you're reading the scriptures, this is where it can get very confusing, because you're reading about Israel and you're reading about Judah. Northern kingdom is Israel, southern kingdom is Judah, but the reigns, the two men, have the same name that are reigning. And so that's an interesting thing to read through and very easy to get confused. The contemporary prophets in his day, Elijah was on the back end of his ministry as Jehoram began to reign in Judah, and Elisha took over and began to be the prophet during Jehoram's reign. Jehoshaphat was his parents. He had Ahaziah as one of his sons, and his other sons were slain by Jehu. And his name means exalted by Jehovah. The major events in Jehoram's reign was the murdering of his brothers, the turning of the kingdom of Judah back to idolatry. So remember, we have Asa and we have Jehoshaphat, two good kings. Not perfect kings. Certainly we've read things about them where they've done things that weren't right. But good kings, overall good and godly kings. 52 years. And here comes Jehoram. And in 8 years, these three that we're talking about, Jehoram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah, 16 years total, totally erased the 52 years of good done by those kings that went before them. I'll bring out a lesson about that when we get to the end of the notes here. There's a revolt by Edom we read about here in Libnah. There's the prophecy of judgment by Elijah. And so that's a little bit of snapshot about Jehoram. Go to the next snapshot, next page. And this is about Ahaziah. He's going to follow Jehoram. Jehoram reigns for 8 years. And Ahaziah reigns for 1 year. Now, when we get to Ahaziah, we deal with what is a seeming Bible difficulty. All right? It seems that the Bible contradicts itself when we read about Ahaziah. He began his reign at 22 years old in one passage, and he began his reign at 42 years old in another passage. Oh, see, right there, the Bible has mistakes in it. Know that any time there is a seeming contradiction in the Bible, it has a valid explanation that you should not lose confidence in the inerrancy of the Scripture. There are a few of them in Scripture. One is about David's numbering of Israel. Here's another one. And a key to understanding this seeming contradiction is to understand that Jehoshaphat had two sons with the same name, but from different mothers, according to 2 Chronicles 21:2. And I think in your notes, I gave you a website to read on this because I did not have time to explain the complexity of it, but I thought if you wanted to read on it, you could go and read the Bible contradiction there. Basically, we understand that both of these men reigned for a year or less from the same father, from two different mothers, reigning at different ages. Was not referring to the same king with two different ages, was referring to two different men. I remember in my master's degree in college, I had a paper that was due, and I had to write about a Bible difficulty. And I had to explain why it wasn't a Bible difficulty. And, you know, when you look at a Bible difficulty and there's an answer to it, it just strengthens your faith that, you know what, God's got everything lined out. If we just have a proper understanding of the Scriptures, it will come out and have a valid answer. And that's the way it is in this particular case. And so I share that with you because sometimes people will bring up a contradiction to you about the Bible. And you ought to have the faith and you ought to have the confidence in the Scriptures that you know it's inspired, you know it's inerrant, you know it's infallible, you know it's preserved, that you ought not to shake in your boots at that. You ought to say, hey, through some digging and studying, I'm sure that the Bible does not contradict itself. Never contradicts itself. Be assured of that. If it's a contradiction, it's a seeming contradiction that has an explanation. There are no mistakes in the Bible. And we need to trust the Lord on that front. But also be able to study and be able to give an answer on those fronts. Ahaziah was, Joram was his parents, his children, Joash. Interesting about Ahaziah, all of his other children were slain. But Joash. Now, we're going to get into all that in this lesson, but that is the mercy of God, and also it is the promise of God fulfilled that David's seed would carry on. And so all of David's seed, all the sons were killed. But God had Jehoiada, his wife, preserve Joash. In a day where they were slain, all the kids that were in David's seed by Athaliah, that wicked queen, Joash was preserved. And that was, God said, I'll make sure David's seed comes all the way through. And God did through Joash. Amazing, amazing God's protection and God's provision and his keeping of his promises. A lot of things that you could dwell on there. Major events of Ahaziah's reign, he was encouraged by his mother Athaliah to do evil. He was killed by Jehu in the retribution of God on Ahab's family. Remember when we studied Ahab in the Israel chain of kings, remember God told Ahab, hey, you'll live for now. You're not going to be destroyed, but your family is going to be wiped off the map. And Jehu was the person that God used to do that. Go to Queen Athaliah, the third snapshot here. Just talk a little bit about her. She was not a woman you would have voted for to put in as the President of the United States. Queen Athaliah reigned 6-7 years. When the Bible gives 6, it may be a little bit more than 6. When the Bible gives 7, it might be within that 7th year. The contemporary king of Israel at the time was Jehu. Her successor was Joash, and her name means God is afflicted. Joash, the next king, was hidden and preserved from Athaliah's terror for 6 years. The first 6 years of Joash's life, he was protected. She was killed by her own army after putting to death most of the royal family. She broke up the house of God and bestowed the dedicated things of the house of God upon Balaam. And so Judah, under these three, Jehoram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah, they take a major turn in the road. And it's a really bad turn. We're dealing with a scope of about 16 years. I'll give you some points now as you fill out your notes. Number one, what we learn from these three kings, two kings and a queen, is we learn the disaster of compromise. The disaster of compromise. 2 Kings chapter 8, look at verse number 18, if you will. It's speaking of Jehoram now, the first one we're talking about in Judah in this lesson. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now, wait a second. Did he have good ways to walk in as examples under the kings of Judah that he followed? Answer, yes, he did. He could have chosen to follow Asa and Jehoshaphat. Boy, that would have been a much better commentary about his life had he done that. But instead, the Bible says, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and did as the house of Ahab, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now let's go back to Jehoshaphat for a second. Good king in many ways. But at the end of Jehoshaphat's reign, if you remember, he made bad alliances with the northern kingdom. Specifically with Ahab. Now his oldest son, Jehoram, is now taking over. And as a result of his compromise with Ahab, he joins in marriage, his son joins in marriage to Ahab's daughter. This would have impact upon Judah in a horrible way. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and Jehoram did so. He not only left his father and mother, he left their faith. And he jumped ship, and he married Ahab's daughter. We know that Ahab was one of those kings in the Bible that nobody did as bad as him up to his time. He was the worst of the worst up to his time. And Jehoshaphat's compromise led to Jehoram's greater compromise. Jehoshaphat looked as though, hey, Jehoshaphat, over the length of his kingdom, good. Man, he made a bad alliance here. His associations weren't all that great. But over the length of his kingdom, good king. But Jehoram never got that reputation because he made greater compromises personally. Jehoram not only accepted the religion of Athaliah, but he became a persecutor in Jerusalem. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Here's Jehoram taking over after Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat worked to remove some of the high places. Now we're in Jehoram's reign. And look at what 2 Chronicles 21 verse number 11 has to say. Eric Haywood, could you stand and read that for me? 2 Chronicles 21 verse number 11 and then verse number 13 as well. So not only does he follow Ahab's ways, but now the Bible says here that he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. In other words, it wasn't just to himself. As a leader, he was moving, he was causing, he was compelling, he was leading people into sin in their lives. In verse number 13, and it's made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and has also slain thy brethren of thy father's house. What happened, Jehoram? You grew up in Jehoshaphat's house. A lot of good things that you could learn from Jehoshaphat. What happened? He went one step further than his father. And I wrote this down in my study. Compromise always affects those that come behind us worse than ourselves. Compromise. Before you think about giving in on a principle of Scripture. Remember this. Compromise is going to affect those that come behind you worse than it will even affect you. It'll affect you. But it'll affect those worse behind you. Let's look at Lot. Lot compromises to go to Sodom. Lot makes it out of Sodom, doesn't he? Does his wife? No. No. What are his children like? A mess. It didn't turn out good, Dave's words. Why? Because compromise will always affect those that come behind you worse than it will affect you. And brethren, we are Bible believers. And Bible believers live by Bible principle. Principle. What's a principle? A principle says this: no matter what situation I'm in, my response toward the Lord in my actions, in my conduct, in my speech doesn't change. Because I live by this principle. A principle is a timeless truth that appeals to all cultures and time frames, and it doesn't change. Principles don't change. Right? People change. Principles don't change. And when we stand on principle, we stand on principle, and sometimes it doesn't go well over with somebody else. From time to time, I've dealt with people in my office, and they give me all kinds of good reasons to cut their marriage relationship, to use the D word. And I sit across the desk from them, and I wish I could say something different than what I tell them. But in every one of those situations, I tell them, there's no biblical reason to divorce your mate. It's a Bible truth. It's a Bible principle. Now, I bring that up. Some of you have been through divorce. I'm certainly not here to bring up the past or guilt. Wherever you're at, you need to live right before God from here on out. Okay? And God is a forgiver, and we understand all of those things. So please don't take that wrong. But if I'm talking to somebody before that decision is made, I'm giving them that biblical counsel. And why? Because it's a principle. Well, preacher, there's an exception. Well, if we, again, I walk through, study that with people to help them to understand that the Bible's consistent all the way throughout. But it's a principle. It's a hard principle to stand by. You know that we have lost people at Mount Zion because of that principle? Painful to counsel. In fact, sometimes I tell them, I wish I didn't have to counsel this way. I wish I didn't have to say this. But I didn't write the Word of God. I'm supposed to uphold the Word of God. And so principles are not always easy to be consistent to. But if we compromise on principle, then we have nothing to stand on. And that compromise, learning from Jehoram, that compromise will affect those that come behind us worse often than it affects us. It affected Jehoshaphat, but boy, did it ever affect Jehoram to where the whole nation was turned in an opposite direction. Number two, the deviation of worship, and worldliness we see in this, king. Notice in 2 Chronicles 17, if you'll turn over there, we'll look at a contrast here between Jehoshaphat, what was said about him, and what was said about his son. Second Chronicles chapter 17 and verse number 3, all right? The Bible says here, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. If you drop down to verse number 6, and his heart, speaking of Jehoshaphat, was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. If you go over to chapter number 21 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 11, 2 Chronicles 21 and verse number 11. Moreover, he, Jehoram, now this is Jehoshaphat's son, made high places in the mountains of Judah, and causeth the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compel Judah thereto. Wait a second. We have a dad that walked in the ways, the Bible says, of David, the first ways. He was lifted up in the ways of God, in verse number 16, took away the high places, and here comes his son, and his son made the high places. That which his dad took down, his son raised up. See, Christopher Knapp in his book, The Kings of Israel and Judah, said this about Jehoram. Listen carefully. Jehoram took the kingdom when raised to its highest glory since the days of Solomon under Jehoshaphat's reign, and left it after the reign of 8 short years with Ichabod written large upon it, which means the glory is departed. Again, 52 years of solid leadership, godly leadership, and 8 years to deviate from worshiping God to idols, to Balaam, to living immorally, as the Bible describes here. 8 years. That's it. That's all it took for the deviation to take place. May I remind you this morning, may I remind myself this morning, that it doesn't take long in any of our lives for our hearts to depart from the Lord. It doesn't take long. I don't know how long it was in Jehoram's reign before he started making changes in Judah. But it came out that these 8 years were great deviation and great adjustment and movement towards worldliness. And you and I have to be aware of that in our own lives. Our heart is bent to go astray daily. Daily. I think that Ahaziah reigns for less than a year. The Bible doesn't have a lot to say about him, but it says he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab in 2 Chronicles 22. For his mother, this is Athaliah now, was his counselor to do wickedly. He walked after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. So he teamed up with the northern kingdom as well. This is the successor now of Jehoram. And then the Bible says, turn over in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 7. For the sons of Athaliah, what's God's description of Athaliah? That wicked woman hath broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. Now, who was Athaliah's mother? Do you know a lady by the name of Jezebel? Jezebels produce Athaliahs. I think one of the great things about a Bible-believing local church is that there are good, godly examples of ladies for younger ladies to follow. I think that's a real, real blessing of being in a local church. Can you imagine having as your leader Athaliah? Like, this is the person our girls are going to look up to. That was Judah for 6 years. Jezebel's, Athaliah's father, Ahab, was a murderer. Remember when he took Naboth? Pouted, got Jezebel to orchestrate, manipulate, to take out Naboth so he could have his vineyard. She, Athaliah, Ahab's daughter, heartlessly slaughtered her own grandchildren in her lust for power. That's how bad Judah turned within a time frame of 16 years. So what does that lead us to? Number three, if you're taking notes, it leads us to the devastation of sowing and reaping. So, the disaster of compromise, and that compromise in my life is generally going to affect the people behind me worse than it's going to affect me, even though it's going to affect me. Secondly, there's a deviation from right worship, and there's a deviation to worldliness. But what does that bring us to? It brings us to the devastation of sowing and reaping. Virtually everything that could go wrong for King Jehoram went wrong. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. Remember, Jehoram, this fifth king, is king for 8 years. He follows Ahab. He follows the ways of Israel. He leads people into fornication, go whoring after their idols and all of those things. And so in verse number 20, the Bible says, in his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah, that's Jehoram, and made a king over themselves. So basically, they declared that they seceded from the union. We're no longer part of Judah. We got our own king now. And so Joram went over to Zer and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about. And the captains of the chariots and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libna revolted at the same time. And notice in verse number, if you go to 2 Chronicles 21, parallel passage now, turn over there. 2 Chronicles 21, and look at verse number 8. Actually, we'll drop down to verse number 10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libna revolt from under his hand. Why? Does the Bible give reason here? Sure does. Because he, who? Because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. You know, God makes sure boomerangs come back around. And now he's doing it right within Jehoram's reign. Right within those 8 years, that boomerang's going to come around. Drop down to verse number 12, 2 Chronicles 21, verse 12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah. But it describes verse number 13, how he walked. Behold, verse 14, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians, and everything that God said would happen did happen. All within 8 years. Why? Because the principle of sowing and reaping is very, very real. Now, when I preach that principle, I always want to encourage you on the principle of sowing and reaping, because all of us have sown wild oats and we have reaped from those. And God's sowing and reaping principle is true on the bad side of things. You sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But can I also say this? You can always start where you're at by sowing good. And the sowing and reaping principle also is applied to good. So many people, when they look at the sowing and reaping, oh no, the whirlwind's going to come into my life. And it may, because the principle of sowing and reaping is something that God's Word teaches. But don't live with the fear of what's going to happen. Live with the hope that if I begin sowing today, right seeds, I can reap right seeds in the future. A lot of times the devil wants to take us to the bad side and just beat us down there. And certainly Jehoram got all of this, and I'm sure he was beaten down. But you know what would have been a good turn for Jehoram at that point? God, your prophet spoke to me. I am wrong. I deserve whatever you have coming to me. But God, I'm changing course at this point. And begin to sow good. Let the principle of sowing and reaping be a motivation for you to be careful what you're sowing today and going forward. Very, very important. He suffered bowel disease for 2 years. His family was destroyed. He killed his other 6 brothers. Can you imagine killing your own family? I mean, that's pretty radical. That's what happened to Jehoram. His sons were killed. Ahaziah was killed by Jehu. Athaliah destroyed all of Ahaziah's children. This is all related to Jehoram because of the principle of sowing and reaping. Lastly, I'll give you this in the last 3 minutes. The defense of God in preserving the lineage of David. The defense of God in preserving the lineage of David. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Kings 8. 2 Kings 8, verse number 19. So we've dealt with Jehoram, we've dealt with Ahaziah, Queen Athaliah. Queen Athaliah is destroying the royal line of David, which is all of Ahaziah's sons. We come down to one son, Joash, that's left in the whole line going back to Solomon. Is the line of David going to continue as he promised in Judah? 2 Kings 8:19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light and to his children. If you're God and you're watching what's going on with Jehoram and Ahaziah and Athaliah, wouldn't there be something inside of you that just says, forget these people? But he said, I will always, in this passage, he promised him to give him always a light. So who's the light at this stage of Judah's history? A little boy by the name of Joash. Now, there are a number of things that I'm excited to teach you about Joash. One thing is, a little boy by the name of Joash that takes over reigning as a very young child can completely flip a nation in the right direction. That's amazing to me. Never, never discount the importance and the influence of one individual. Joash becomes the man as a boy that God keeps alive in a very, very persecuting atmosphere in Judah where all of his brothers were killed. Somebody takes him under their wing. They keep him in the house of the Lord for the first 6 years to protect him. What is that? That's God's promise. I'll always leave a light with Judah. And so next week when we get into it, we're going to study the king of Joash and how God used Joash in some great ways. You have the death of Athaliah in 2 Chronicles 23 as we finish her up. You can read about it in verses 1 through 15. But Jehoiada strengthened himself, and Jehoiada brings Joash as king. He restores the house of the Lord, and Athaliah walks in, and it's all under the current. She didn't know about it. Treason! Treason! And you know what happened. She was murdered. And basically the wicked woman was taken out of the way. And you can read about that. We don't have time to go into 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Give you a couple lessons on the last page. We'll finish up on these next week. Compromise always affects future generations in a catastrophic way. Compromise affects future generations in a catastrophic way. Number two, the law of sowing and reaping is inevitable in our lives, both in good ways and in bad ways. Be careful what you sow. Now, oftentimes when we sow, we're thinking about what we're going to sow. We're thinking about a decision. Let the sowing and reaping principle be that motivation to push you over the edge to go the right way in that decision. Number three, I close with this. One sinner, Jehoram, destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. Ecclesiastes 9 teaches us that. Jehoram, a lot of good things in Judah. And he came in and, boy, he wiped the slate clean of the good and brought in a lot of bad. We'll go through points 4 through 7 when we come back next week. Let's...
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.